Park Street. This is day 9 of Lent, and I'm back with Sadie Zagaric and Juliana Ritz, and we are going to finish John 4, which we, or part of John 4, we read yesterday about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, and we're going to start back in at verse 27.
So this is right after Jesus basically told her that he's the Messiah. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
I like the progression of just the woman, like, experiences Jesus, right? She gets excited. Her total, like, orientation to life is completely changed, and she immediately runs back and tells other people.
Mm-hmm.
Who it says they believed because of her testimony, but then at the end it says, you know, now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. It's interesting for me. I tend to think that, like, I guess in my own brain, my default setting is that most people really, if they're not Christians, they really don't have any interest in Jesus or learning more about him, which I'm not sure is necessarily a good default setting to have.
yeah.
You know, like, I guess I always assume that people are out there, like, they're just living their lives, doing their thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
no problems or whatever. It's like, but I think the more, like, you kind of just see, at least in this chapter, like, the interactions that Jesus has with people, like, some people will go away. He'll make enemies, you know, for sure. But there are a lot of people who are going to interact with Jesus and then get super pumped and, like, not care about anything other than, like, relaying what their experience was and telling others about the experience they had. And I think that's really something I need to be reminded of, I guess, on a consistent basis when I think about just when you interact with Jesus, there is, like, there's risk of, like, something blowing up. Like, I don't know, like when you're a little kid, you do your first science fair project and you build a volcano and you throw, like, what is it, like?
Baking soda, vinegar. Yeah.
And it just, like, it just explodes, right? It's a cool thing. But it's like, it feels like that's like Jesus is, like, ready to just, like, people are filled with, like, little volcanoes with baking soda and he's just walking around. like, there's always a risk, right, that if you interact with Jesus, a little bit of vinegar is going to get in there and it's just going to start something, right? And it's going to keep going and it's going to grow and it's going to explode and it's, like, becomes this kind of uncontrollable phenomenon. And I know that's true, but I just don't think that way, you know?
So the living water is actually vinegar.
I guess.
We should
like a spring bubbling up, right? Like, it's this, like, energetic kind of force that just, it has a life of its own, right? Like, it's not something that you can really make up or you can fabricate. It's just something that happens to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you're making sense. I think that Christians get so worried about evangelism because they don't know everything about the Bible, or they're not sure how to lead someone through Romans Road, or they don't know the relevant analogy to use for what it means that God wants a relationship with us. And this story shows us that her whole city believed because of her testimony. So all you have to do is tell your story. A lot of times, right?
Yeah.
All you're supposed to do, according to this at least, is talk about what Jesus has done in your life, what sort of interactions you've had with him. And then Jesus does the rest.
Yeah.
He interacts with that other person.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I feel like there are people who are just like so, like I was saying, like I guess for me, it's like I'm so just default, either scared or just, you know, I don't touch those kind of conversations with people because it's like, I don't want to go there. And then there's, you know, other people who are super like 110% like pedal down, like to start conversations with every single person they know, or they're super into like defending the Bible or defending Jesus or proving why Jesus is true. It's like there's these two kind of extremes that, like, this woman's just like, here's what happened to me. Like, here's,
mm-hmm.
here's what I can tell you. I don't need to tell you the 58, you know, theological, philosophical arguments about why the Bible is really real or whatever. You know, it's like, here's what happened to me. Here's what I can tell you. It's really that simple.
And yesterday we talked about how he didn't just come out of the gate talking about her sins, right? He let her come into conversation with him and all of those sorts of things, let her have some sort of relationship. And that, I was reminded of that when you were talking about the people wanting to defend the Bible and whatever. All of that is fine. But if we're not starting from a place of wanting a relationship with a person, they're not going to be receptive to it.
Yeah.
In the same way that she probably would have just walked away if he would have just come out of the gate swinging about her sin.
She wanted to talk about, right, the worship on this mountain, worship on that mountain. Like, let's talk about whether there was a literal flood in Genesis or, like, whatever, whatever. It's like, he doesn't really care about that. He didn't want to have that conversation. He wanted to have a personal interaction.
Right.
He wanted to have a personal, like, kind of discussion, you know, person to person. It's like, to me, that's where I kind of long for that kind of simple Christianity where I know Jesus, but he knows me, and we got a thing going on, and it's like, that's it. You know, like, we converse. It's like the difference between, like, you know, studying the Bible, studying what Jesus did is like, that's good. It's all awesome. It's like, but I feel like there's been times in my life where it's like, I know all this stuff about Jesus. It's like, I could tell you all of his, like, biography, but it's like the difference between, like, reading the intro to, like, a guest speaker, like, all their accomplishments, all that they did, versus, like, actually, like, knowing the person.
Sitting across the table from them.
Right, and, like, knowing exactly, like, what they like, what they dislike, not just all the things that, the attributes or qualities they have, you know?
Yeah. I really liked what you were saying, Ryan, about this idea of you don't have to be either all or nothing in this concept of, like, you either have to, every single person that you've ever interacted with, you need to hand them a Bible versus, like, running away from every conversation you've ever, like, possibly been able to step into about Jesus. Like, that maybe both of those extremes are extremes. I mean, they're not ideal, probably. But I think that the more that we are willing to share, like, you know, with a willing heart to say, like, God, who do you have for me today? Of, like, you know, I'm not gonna maybe reach every single person I pass on the street and tell them about Jesus, but I'm also not gonna avoid talking about it because it's my daily life and, you know, my interactions with people, and that there are opportunities to share our relationship with Jesus in ways that are just common and simple and but yet life-changing. And your question about whether, like, your default is that you think all people just probably don't want to talk about Jesus if they're, like, not already going to church, I think is interesting. And I actually am reminded of a story my cousin was telling me yesterday. She was at a work function and they did some sort of icebreaker, and they did the really common icebreaker where they said, you know, if you could have dinner with one person dead or alive, whoever it would be, who would you pick? And this new coworker to my cousin said, I would have, like, dinner with Jesus. And she's like, because, you know, I really would just want to, like, hear what he had to say coming from him. And I was like, interesting, like, is this person a Christian? She's like, no, not at all. But she decided that in a work environment just casually was going to say, like, yeah, I mean, all these people talk about him and, you know, I don't know what he really said, so I'd like to sit down with him myself. And she just could have let that go. Like, the avoidance would be, okay, I'm not going to go there. Who knows what baggage this person's carrying about who they think Jesus is or not is, and, like, that's scary. Or the other alternative would be, you know, sitting them down and going through Romans Road, right, maybe being like, listen, I'm going to share the gospel right now.
Hey, you just sent me to talk to you.
Yeah,
right,
right.
It's like, well, that's where it comes from, like, this, you have to have some kind of wisdom to know how to handle that. And, like,
right,
it is hard. Like, so this, I mean, I love that story. I listen occasionally to Sam Harris podcast, which,
mm-hmm,
so Sam Harris, for people who don't know, is kind of one of the new atheists. He's been associated with guys like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens. And there's another one of them, I forget. Stephen Hawking. I don't know. But there were four of them, and they have some discussions called the Four Horsemen of New Atheism. He, anyways, what's really interesting is he's had some guests on his podcast that said the same thing. And he said the same thing on one of his podcasts, because he's an atheist. He's like, they were getting to the end of the episode, and they're like, you know, if you could have dinner with them or anyone, who would you have? He's like,
mm-hmm,
Jesus. He's like, I kind of like want to know like what all the hype is about.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of his other guests, who was an atheist, also on the podcast, said the same thing. And I think I need to be reminded that just like Jesus is a dynamic, like uncontrollable, you know, if he really does, like, he's just different, and he's interesting, and people are going to have to, like, people are naturally drawn to him. I mean, the fact that people are still talking about him 2,000
mm-hmm.
years after he died, you know, the fact that this whole thing is just, you know, the church didn't die off like most other, you know, groups have, it's like, it is just, it's interesting that so many people still seemingly are interested in Jesus, despite the fact that, you know, maybe they aren't interested in religion. And like you were saying, you know, in a conversation like that, it's like, if somebody brings that up, you're like, all right, do I like step into that? Do I step away?
Mm-hmm.
How do I navigate that? Like, this woman went back to her village and told everybody. She was going to the well by herself. Like, she didn't exactly have a lot of friends. It wasn't like she was like, you know, good at networking. Right, like,
yeah.
She realized. I mean, she took risk. Right, she was transformed enough to where she stepped on the edge of what was comfortable for her. But it doesn't really give any indication that that was that difficult for her to do. You know,
yeah,
it was just a natural thing. You know, her testimony, like her basic like Jesus sales pitch is like, he told me everything I ever did. Like, just come look. You come see. You come look at him, you know, meet him, figure it out, you know. It's like, just get it, come look, you know. It's, you know, but it is interesting. Like, she doesn't have a lot of friends. She's not like, you know, they're not coming because they like her. I don't know why they're coming, you know. It's like,
yeah,
it's just a kind of a crazy thing, you know. And when they came out to, you know, verse 40 says, when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay, you know. It's like, that's pretty crazy, you know. And he stayed for 2 days, right? And then he left. I was like, what did you tell him for 2 days? I don't know. You know, like, it's
mm-hmm.
just kind of interesting. The whole thing seems just kind of crazy and interesting to me.
One of the most beautiful things to me about this whole story is that she gets restored back into her community. That because of an encounter with Jesus, she not only experienced the reconciliation we talked about between Samaritans and Jews in like a microcosm event, but
microcosm.
She was restored back into her community, and that is the part of her life that actually matters. I'm guessing more than whether or not the Samaritans get the favor of the Jews now. She now has the favor of her community,
yeah.
And as brethren, I think that that's something we should really be interested in. We talk about community, we're so focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what if we started to tell each other with a lot of regularity what Jesus has been doing in our lives, where we've been encountering him,
yeah,
as like a natural overflow of our life with God.
Yeah.
Because I don't always tell people what God is saying to me or the encounters I've had with Jesus. I just keep them to myself, where I write them in a journal or keep them for a rainy day. But what I'm seeing here is that it's all meant to be shared.
Yeah.
And you can share it with your community, you can share it outside of your community, but it's all meant to be shared.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful that she even says, or I'm sorry, her community even says, it's not because of what you said, but we've heard it for ourselves. We've heard something. He must have spoken to them if they heard something.
Yeah.
And how bold of her to say, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Like, isn't there going to be follow-up questions to that? Like, well, what did you do? Like,
well, I think a lot of them know.
Right,
or
true.
Or at least they may, you know.
Because she's going by herself to the well and everything.
Right.
But still a little bit bold to be like, how do I know this Messiah is real? He told me every sin that I've ever, like, you know, just to lay that out to you is pretty vulnerable.
Yeah. I just, like, the words, like, that Jesus says, you know, like, in verses 35, 36, 37, 38, it's like, wake up and look around, you know? The fields are already ripe for harvest, you know? The harvesters are paid good wages. The fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Like, wake up and look around, you know? There's, like, there's a world out there of people who are ready, you know?
Mm.
Who are ready to accept Jesus, who are ready to hear something different than what they've heard, who are, like, just waiting for a little bit of vinegar, right, in the volcano. It's like, what joy awaits the planter and harvester alike, you know? It's like, you just gotta, you know, like, there's, I don't think of the world in that type of, like, growth mindset that Jesus has. Like, I feel like everybody's pretty much doing what they want to do. You can't really talk to people about Jesus, and, you know, nothing really can change. it's like don't think like that.
But isn't that what our culture tells us? Is like, stay on your side. Do your own thing. I'll do mine thing and it'll be fine. Don't mess with me. If I want to know Jesus, I'll come to your church. If I don't, leave me alone.
Right.
We don't really have that community sharing mindset of, you know, we barely even talk to our neighbors about anything anymore, let alone something as culturally, like, hot button topic as religion in general.
Right. Well, and I mean, obviously, the reason people avoid that stuff is because there's been pain, right? I mean, religion has been co-opted in many ways, right? I mean, everyone has horror stories about lots of religions, including Christianity. I mean, so, but when you peel back that, you know, when you get past that, you know, there's still Jesus at the center of all that mess, saying, you know, like, I'm still here, you can't stop me, I'm doing my thing, I'm bringing people in, you know, like, I'm doing, like, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God, you know, like, God sent me to do certain work, and that's what motivates me, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm not really going to let anybody stop me, you know, which is cool, because it's just such a, reminds me that I forget that it's like, no, you could really believe that, you know, Park Street can grow, right? That we can grow, we can actually, you know, tell people who don't know about Jesus about him, and they will accept the message and change, and their lives will change, and you know, and they'll tell somebody, and it's like, I think that's cool. Like, I want to believe that.
Oh yeah.
You know? I feel like there's tension inside of me. Like, I want to believe that, but that seems too crazy. That can't be true.
Yeah.
But it is true. It can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
So, it takes, you know, I guess people encountering Christ and then losing their mind and telling people, you know, and like getting,
yeah,
you know.
And that all starts with us encountering, positioning ourselves to experience God.
Yeah.
In order to, isn't that what's the well tagline?
Encounter, experience, respond.
There we go.
Oh yeah, I know that one. Well, the other side of that is, if we're not like this woman and telling people, it's like, how often are we as the church missing our encounter with Christ, right? Like, are we just, like, not on the same wavelength that we, you know, we do all this stuff, we come to church, every day we have, Jesus offers us, right, living water, and we drink, you know, sludgy Coke, whatever. I don't know. It's the grossest thing you can drink. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's like we don't really drink what
wheatgrass.
He offers. Right. Wheatgrass.
Tastes bad. Good for you. Maybe the Coke analogy's better.
It's just like you drink, like PBR or something. I don't know. It's gross. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like it seems like if you're drinking the Jesus Kool-Aid, right? Like, there's a natural progression that happens, and I kind of there's a part of me that kind of misses that, like, initial innocence of becoming a Christian and, like, the initial excitement and joy that comes with it, and I want to recapture that, you know?
Yeah, the Gospels tell us that encounters with Jesus will change our lives, and I don't know where in our own lives it happens, but there develops this little voice back there that is like, well, will it really change your life?
Yeah.
Like, will your encounters with Jesus day after day after day actually change your life? Or was that one in the beginning enough?
Yeah.
Like, was that salvation experience enough for you? I would argue no.
Yeah.
How many times can it be made new?
Right.
Is it every
right.
day?
Over and over and over and over again.
Right. Yeah.
And so to wake up, I'm an idealist to my bones, and I so badly want to see the world that is encountering Jesus all the time, telling people about their encounters with Jesus all the time. But people aren't just going to, like, their faith doesn't come from believing you.
Mm-hmm.
The same way their
right.
the city's faith didn't come from believing her.
It was just the first step. That was the first step.
Right. And so your stories aren't saving anybody.
Right.
It's the encounter that you're setting. You're the Holy Spirit working through you to set up an encounter for someone else.
Yeah. You're not the Savior. Jesus.
Through the Jesus in your story.
Right.
And I think that's really powerful.
That is powerful. There's both something for you to do, but it's not all about you. You know, like, it's both. It's kind of both, you know.
If we could retitle this Lenten podcast.
Right.
It's not about
it's
you.
It's not about you. That's a great title.
40-ish days. 40-ish.
Yeah. Well, and John the Baptist, you know, has already said that in other places, you know, earlier. He's like, you know, he must increase, I must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, back at the beginning of this chapter, the chapter starts with Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, so he left. And I just think it's like this amazing, like, Jesus knew he was crushing it, and people were starting to notice, so he stopped doing that and went on to something else. You know, it was like, that's how cool he is. They just, he's the guy that needs the focus, right? And not us, for sure. So, that's cool.
True that.
All right, guys. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Sadie and Juliana. We might do one more. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, cool.